I came home one night through the week. I normally, the first thing I do is I put my bag down and I head for the kitchen because I'm always hungry. And I'm looking to see what Lynn's got cooking, or maybe she's dished up already. And she comes rushing into the kitchen. Ivan, how do you wash mealies? I looked at her, what the heck is my wife talking about? How do I wash mealies? And then she came out with, now she was preparing for the ladies' meeting. So I believe it's going to be an awesome, God-inspired, interesting morning. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sure, where was I? It looks like this mealy thing has got to me, eh? That's corny. That's corny. Okay. Oh my goodness. Amen. Let's pray. Our Lord Jesus, I thank you that you've given me an opportunity at times such as this to share your word, to plant seeds of faith this morning. And Father, I thank you that your word is alive. That your word is life. Yes. You're alive, Lord Jesus. And I thank you that you're alive in this place. That this very morning, that your word is life. And that life would begin to spring forth this morning in each and every heart, in every spirit here today, in Jesus' mighty name. And Father, I ask, Lord, that you just open our hearts and that you'd open our eyes, that you'd open our ears, that we'd have an understanding of what you're saying to us this morning, so that we become effective vessels for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Sure. Last week, just straight off the praise and worship, the Lord gave me a message, and what I shared with you last week was about stepping out and Peter getting out of the boat. And I just want to just stick with that this morning about stepping out. If you look to my left, your right, that picture on the wall there, I really feel that's the season that we're in at the moment. Where that guy at the top there, that's you and me, that's every one of us there. Your name's on top there. He's calling us. He's asking us to move from one side to the other. He's taking us into a new season with him. He's taken us into a place where we can stand in faith and we can stand upon his word. And I just feel in my heart that as the body of Christ, as individuals, as the body corporately, that the church has become too introvert. You all know what introvert is. Because we're always looking inside. And when you get to that place, you know, it's someone else can do it. I can't do it. It's somebody else's job. But I believe Jesus wants us to take, he's taken us into a place of extrovert, where he wants us looking out, where he wants us going out. And that place of becoming an extrovert is looking beyond. It's looking out there and looking to see where Jesus is at work. If we want to see the reality of his word, we want his word to come to pass in our lives, we want to experience the life behind that word, then we need to step out. We need to go beyond. Amen. Do you agree with that? And my scripture for this morning is Matthew 14, 22 to 31. My message this morning is stepping out and trusting Jesus. I'll give you a minute for you all to turn there. Matthew 14, 22 to 31. All the scriptures I'm reading this morning, it's all from the Amplified Bible. Verse 22. Immediately, he directed the disciples to get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. While he sent the crowds away, after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was already a long distance from the land and was being tossed and battered by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, that was between 3 and 6 a.m., Jesus came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said amongst themselves, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately he spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter replied to him, "Lord, if it is really you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said to Peter, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the effects of the wind, he was frightened and he began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus extended his hand, caught him, saying to him, "O ye of little faith, why do you doubt?" and pulled him up out of the water. And I looked at these scriptures and I thought about it. I'm sure if we were in that boat and that boat was being tossed to and fro by the storms and by all the winds, the waves were probably this high. And when we saw Jesus coming, we knew it was Jesus walking towards the boat. The first thing that would have probably come out of our mouths is, "Jesus, calm the storm. Calm the waters." Not Peter. Amongst all that turmoil, he calls out to Jesus, "Command me to come to you." He didn't ask him to calm the storm, but he asked, "Call me to come to you." And Peter knew at that very moment, "Lord, on the strength of your word, I can do this." The Greek word for tossed means to question by torture. Have you ever had your faith questioned by torturous circumstances? Yes, I believe we all have. Or situations. The sea was at its worst. And he got out. He didn't wait for a more opportune time. Best suited. Where things were more calm. I'm sure if I was sitting in the boat, I would have probably waited for that when it was calmer. When it was easier. But when it was at its worst, our friend Peter gets out of the boat and he begins to walk towards Jesus on the water. And you know what? I thought about these scriptures again. Peter knew that there wouldn't be another opportunity like this. If he let that opportunity slide, he knew that was it. That was an opportunity that would have passed him by. He wouldn't have seen it again. In the Word of God, in James 1:22, in the Amplified, the Word says, "But prove yourselves doers of the Word, actively, and continue obeying God's precepts, and not merely listeners who hear the Word, but fail to initialize its meaning, deluding yourselves by unsounding reasoning contrary to the truth." Sure. Be you doers of the word. Peter was a doer of God's word. And this message this morning, it's about faith in action. Peter acted on that word when Jesus said to him, "Peter, come." And he acted on it and he went. And then I looked at those scriptures again. When Peter began to sink, and just put yourself in Peter's shoes, walking on that water, and you begin to sink, the first thing that would have come to my mind, I would have turned around and swum back to the boat. Come on. I would have turned around and made my way back to the boat. Maybe just a natural instinct, but that's what came to me as I was reading this. We go back to the place of safety and comfort. And you know what? When you overcome in situations like that, when you get back into that boat, I guarantee you're not going to step out again. You won't step out again because of the fear of failure. But Peter stretched out his hand, "Lord, save me." And Jesus lifts him up out of the water, and they walk back to the boat. Many would say that people failed. It was a failure. When I ask you this morning, do you really believe in your heart that Peter failed that early morning? I want to ask you this. What about the others that sat in the boat? And they watched Peter get out of the boat. They watched him go under the water and they saw Jesus pull him out and he walks back to the boat again with Jesus. I want us to look at it this way, and Franco will know where I'm coming from. His dad, when he went swimming, he always had this this turquoise Speedo. But the color had already started coming out of it. And he would force this thing on, and he had these skinny little legs. If I stood here this morning, and I put my Speedo on, I put my costume on, can I call myself a swimmer? Am I one? If I took my costume out of my cupboard and I put it on, can I call myself a swimmer? Am I a swimmer? Not yet. If I get into the water, does that make me a swimmer? No, still not. Okay, Norman's got it all figured out. In order to become a swimmer, there needs to be movement. There needs to be motion. The moment I lift my feet and I let the water carry me and I apply myself, when I apply, lift my feet and I apply myself, that water is going to carry me. And it's the same in the church. It's the same in the body of Christ. I can come and sit in the church. I can have and I can hear the word. But I need to be a doer of the word, like James just said to us. We need to be doers of the word. It requires movement. The Spirit will carry you. The Spirit of God will gird you when you step out and you begin to move with what He's calling you to do, like the swimmer. I want to give you two enemies of faith. And I believe that they're two of the biggest. And that's doubt and fear. Doubt and fear go hand in hand, just as love and faith go hand in hand. Doubt is going to rob you of what Jesus is wanting for your life. You know what doubt does? It pulls you out of His promise. It pulls you out of what He's calling you to do. In Matthew 14:31, immediately Jesus extended His hand and caught him and said to Peter, "O ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" And I want you to look at it this way as well this morning. Maybe you're taking sides against God's word. You know, that got your attention. Maybe you're taking sides against God's word and you ask, but how? How would I take sides against God's word? It's when we voice unbelief, we're taking sides against God's word. And then we wonder why nothing happens in our lives. We need to side with it, and we need to align ourselves with the Word of God. Like Peter, he aligned himself with the Word of God. Jesus said to Peter, come. Peter got out the boat and he went. He acted upon that, upon the Word of God, because he knew it was the Word that would carry him into the promise. Hope and faith, are they the same? Hope and faith, are they the same? What is faith and what is hope? Hope and faith, are they the same? Hope looks at the future. And it's, hope is always future tense. Faith is now. It's not hoping to get the job done or maybe someday. But it's believing, like Peter in the boat. When God calls you, he's already equipped you to do what he's calling you to do. How do we get faith? What does the Word of God say in Romans 10, verse 17? Let's all turn there quickly. Romans 10, verse 17. So faith comes by hearing what is told, and what is heard comes by the preaching of the message that came from the lips of Christ, the Messiah himself. So faith comes by hearing the Word of God. We need to spend time in His Word. We need to hear His Word. And when I'm spending time in His Word, that Word will begin to bring life, and it'll begin to revive something that Jesus has planted within me. We need to be hearing. When I'm spending time in His Word, I begin to hear God. I begin to hear what He's saying to me. We need to have a time of intimacy with Jesus. And I want to ask you today, are you spending time in the Word? Do you have times of intimacy with Jesus? If you don't, you're not going to step out of the boat. We won't be able to step out of the boat. Faith is the warranty deed for the things hoped for. That's the warranty deed that Jesus has given you this morning. And I want you to take hold of it, grasp it, and step into His calling for your life. In Psalms 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the refuge and fortress of my life. Whom shall I dread? The Lord is the strength of my life. In other words, faith says the same thing the Word of God says. May you have been accustomed to playing it safe all your life. But Jesus is asking you this morning to reach out and to step out. And what came through with the prayer this morning with Lisa was God is asking us to touch those around us. And even that, Jesus is wanting to take that to the next level in our lives. Are you reaching out to those around you in the workplace? Are you reaching out to your families? Are you bringing change? Are you a light and salt to the nation, to those around you? In Mark 11, verse 24, for this reason I am telling you, whatever things you ask for in prayer, in accordance with God's will, believe with confident trust that you have received them and they will be given to you. Peter believed, he received. Jesus said, come. And Peter knew that it would be all right. Faith is acting on the Word of God. When we step out, the more we step out, the stronger our faith becomes. And I know the first time's never easy, but the more you do it, the stronger you're going to come in your faith with our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give you a few reasons. I've got 11 reasons why we need to step out of the boat. The first one is in James 2, verse 26. And I'm going to read again from the Amplified. For just as the human body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works of obedience is also dead. It's about growth. It's about our faith. And we'll grow stronger because we're actively moving in faith. God is looking for people who are filled with fire for His purpose. Stepping out on the water is where you and I, we're going to meet Jesus. You want to meet Jesus and you want to know Him like Peter knew Him. We need to get out on the water because that's where Jesus is. That's where you'll meet Him and begin to know Him. Point two, Ephesians 6 verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but it's against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present age, darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural places. We're in a spiritual warfare, people. And we need to get out of the boat in spite of what the devil throws at us. The wind was blowing. There was a storm. The waves were this side. Peter got out of the boat. The circumstances, the situation wasn't great, but he got out. In spite of all the devil throws at us, we will taste victory in conquering Satan. And you know what? You're never going to be the same again. I can tell you now, Peter wasn't. He wasn't the same man. When he got out of the boat and he walked in the water and he walked back to the water, to the boat of Jesus, Peter was not the same man. And I guarantee you, when you step out in faith and when you trust in Jesus and when you begin to walk on the water, you're not going to be the same person. Jesus is going to change you. Your whole perspective is going to change of who He is. Point three, in Hebrews 3, verse 7 to 8, therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as your fathers did in rebellion of Israel at Meribah, on the day of testing in the wilderness. We will hear God's voice when we step out of the boat. And there is only one voice we need to hear. And that's the voice of Jesus saying to us this morning, come. Point four, Revelation 12 verse 11. And they overcame and conquered Him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. For they had not loved their life and renounced their faith even when they faced death. We will have a more powerful testimony when we step out. I really believe that. Our testimony is powerful and it will ignite the passion in others to do more than just to exist. When we begin to step out, when we begin to do what Jesus is calling us to do, it's going to ignite a passion in those around us to do more for Jesus. Point five, in Proverbs 19, verse 21, many are the plans in a man's mind, but it's the Lord's purpose for him that will stand and be carried out. Many are the plans in a man's mind, but it's the Lord's purpose for him that will stand and be carried out. We have a purpose to complete what He has called us to do. We aren't just born to exist, but we're born to accomplish things for Jesus. Do you believe that this morning? God has called you to accomplish things for Him. He hasn't called you just to exist, but He's called you to do extraordinary things. Point six, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 to 4. But even if our gospel is in some sense hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only to those who are perishing. Among them, the God of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving to prevent them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. We have other people waiting for us on the other side. If you're not going to get out of the boat, what's going to happen to them? Jesus has got somebody waiting for you. And you need to touch them. You need to tell them about Jesus and what He's done. Point seven, in James 4, verse 14. Yet you do not know the least thing about what may happen in your life tomorrow. What is secure in your life? You are merely a vapor, like a puff of smoke or a wisp of steam from a cooking pot that is visible only for a while and then vanishes into thin air. Our life is shorter than we think, people. We don't know how much time we have on this earth. We need to get busy with God's purpose and not ours. Point eight, Psalms 34, verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord our God is good. Our blessed, fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God is the man who takes refuge in Him. We won't be satisfied with anything else. When we get out of the boat, we get closer to Jesus. And guess what? This world is going to appeal less to us. Point nine. In 1 Samuel 3:10, then the Lord came and stood and called as at previous times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for your servant is listening. We heard the calling. Not everyone hears the call within to get out of the boat. We have to respond in order to complete His calling on our lives. Point 10. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. I love this. He has made everything beautiful and appropriate in its time. He has also planted eternity, a sense of divine purpose in the human heart, a mysterious longing for which nothing under the sun can satisfy except God. Yet man cannot find out, comprehend, or grasp what God has done, His overall plan from the beginning to the end. God has set eternity in the heart of man. We are born for it, people. We're born for it. It's in our spiritual DNA to move and to fulfill our calling in this life, regardless of the storms. That's our spiritual DNA. We're born for it. Here's another one. In Acts 17, verse 28, for in Him we live and move and exist. That is, in Him we actually have our being. Even as some of your poets have said, for we also are His children. In Him we live, move, and exist. Without Him, we're nothing. And then faith decreased. What is faith decreased? Moses led the Israelites through the desert. They spent a long time in the desert. They eventually lost their faith and never entered into the promise. God raised up another generation to do what he had called them to originally do. Losing faith through extended times in the desert and dry places. When you spend overextended times in dry places, when you spend too much time in the desert, you're going to lose your faith. When you're spending too much time in the world, when you're playing with this world in its system, guess what? You're going to lose your faith. Your faith is going to begin to wane. It's going to begin to fade. Sometimes God has spoken, and we know that he's leading. We know that he's asking us to do something. And when you look around sometimes, you begin to think about what he's asking you to do. You think, "Oh, Lord Jesus, that's crazy. There's no ways I can do that. No ways I can do that. It looks impossible. Lord, this can't be you." And I'm sure Noah felt the same. When the father came and he said, "Noah, I want you to build me a boat." You know what? And the worst of all, it was in the middle of nowhere. Yeah, he gets his instruction to build this massive boat. It's like God coming to you and asking you to build a boat in the middle of Limpopo or the Free State. It's far from the sea. But you know what? He carried on and he persisted because he heard the voice of God and he knew it was the Father telling him to do that. I'm sure he doubted and he looked around, but he knew the Father spoke. And when Jesus speaks to you, when the Father speaks to you, don't doubt. Don't look around. Maybe it'll look impossible, or just feel impossible. You feel so inadequate that there's just no ways you can do that. You know what? You'll never know. You don't know until you step out and you start doing what he's asked you to do. When Jesus calls you, he'll equip you. He's already equipped you. He'll undertake for you, like he did for Peter. Everything that he's calling you to, the provision and the protection, is already there. You know that Jesus has spoken to you, do it. You don't understand, and sometimes we don't see the bigger picture. His ways aren't our ways. We're always wanting to see the end of this thing or the bigger picture. Just do what he's calling you to do. That's a season that I believe Jesus has taken us into, and it's a season of faith. It's a season of stepping out. It's a season of growth, and it's a season of fruitfulness. You want to bear fruit in your life? Do what Jesus is calling and asking you to do. He's coming back for a church that's alive, that's powerful. He's coming back for a church that loves him. If you love Jesus, you're going to do what he's asking you to do. That's love. That's how Jesus showed his love for God. He did what God asked him to do. Show your love for Jesus. Do what he's asking you to do this morning. And then shipwrecked faith. What is that? Our faith, our trust in our Lord, our belief is more precious than gold. Do we treat it that way? Do you guard it from the enemy? Or are you just living carelessly with a double eye? One foot in the world, one foot in the kingdom. Sailing closer to the reefs that threaten to shipwreck us. Tempting the Lord, seeing how far we can stretch his mercy shed through the blood on the cross. We are to set our affections on the things above and not on the things of this world, with our eyes fixed completely and totally on Him. Then our whole body is going to be full of light. If you cruise in the shoreline and you're too scared to venture out into the deep, and you've got one foot in what He's calling you to do, and you've got one foot in the world, you're not sure, you're going to shipwreck your faith, guaranteed. I asked them to put this, when I came in this morning, this picture of this little boat on the water. And if you want to catch the wind of His Spirit, if you want to catch the wind of what's happening right now in the body of Christ, then you need to launch out. It's a well-known fact that in the Sea of Galilee, the fishermen always fished in shallow waters close to the side. They never ventured out into full daylight in deep water, never. And Peter, he'd been fishing, he toiled all night. But Jesus said to him, "Peter, launch out into the deep and cast your nets." And you know what he said to the Lord? "Lord, I toiled all night, but you know what? Nevertheless, at your word. And maybe you've stepped out and things never worked out accordingly. It didn't go according to plan. Jesus is asking you this morning to take that step of faith once again, to trust Him, to stand upon His word again, and to set out into the deep waters. Peter didn't know it, but I believe that that became the pivotal point for the rest of his life, one of them. Your life won't be the same when you put your trust in the Word of God. He's taking us out of the shallows and into deep waters. And that requires commitment. It means lifting your anchor and setting your sails to catch the wind. You have to launch to catch the wind. People, we've got to lift our anchors and we've got to set our sails in order for the Spirit to begin to blow upon our lives so that we can reach the full potential in what He's wanting and what He's calling us to. Amen. The Lord speaking to you. Always. He really spoke to me about this through the week. There will always be storms. Always, always, always. And because there are storms and things aren't going according to plan, don't hold back. But use that as an opportunity to trust Jesus and to step out onto the water. Amen. Okay, Franco.
What Ivan's speaking about today, I was sitting there and I believe God spoke to me. And I believe God wants to do something here this morning, according to what Ivan has spoken about, and that is, I'm taking a step of faith, stepping out the boat, because I believe God has spoken to me. And normally when God does this, God does something miraculous. I believe we're going to see a miracle happen here today. And it doesn't happen often to me, but it happens. Tyron, I think God wants to heal you today. Would you like to come forward, please? I don't know what's wrong with Tyron, but I know that he's limping. Tyron, as I was sitting there, I believe the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and He said He wants to heal you today. What happened to you?
Cracked my spine. From there, I got a drop foot.
Okay, I'm telling you, God's going to heal you today. I'm not going to ask you if you believe it, because I believe you do. Because I know God's going to heal you today. And you're going to see a miracle happen here today. Because I believe God's showing you something. He's going to show you something here today in line with what Ivan has spoken about. Because faith only works when you step out the boat. Praise God. I'd like you, can I just have a chair? Now, normally we do this. Praise God. I'm just going to pray for you. Your spine that has been cracked is going to be healed right now. The power of God is going to flow through you. It's going to flow through your legs. He's going to straighten out your legs. He's going to heal you right now. Okay, praise God. And I want you to sit right back in the chair with your spine right back into the chair. Right. Hallelujah. I don't know. There doesn't seem to be much of a difference there. But it doesn't matter. Father, we just give you praise and honor, Lord, that you, O God, have ordained this day, and your healing power is upon Tyron right now. And I command the healing power to flow through his back. Just put your hand on his back. In the name of Jesus, I command that spine to be healed, to be knitted together, to be absolutely, perfectly formed as you created to be, Lord. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that these legs that have been affected by the spine, I command total recovery and perfect healing. Straightening out right now. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory as we witness this miracle now. In Jesus' name. Put your legs down, Tom. Just get up. Just get up. Okay. You feel anything fly through your spine? Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you for what you've done right now. And I just walk right.
I do drop my foot.
Okay, now you're not going to, your foot's not going to drop anymore. Now just run around by yourself.
That's faith.
Something happened. gone back and it's God's doing something. Thank you, Jesus. There you see what's happening? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What Arvis also spoke about is the hope thing and the total recovery thing that happens from this moment onwards. And I believe that he's been touched by the Lord right now, and he'll never be the same again. He'll be every step he takes is going to get better and better. Praise God. Thank you.
I just want to, before you go back to your seat, I just need to pray for you for something. If you can just raise your hands. Just close your eyes. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the fire of your Spirit that would begin to burn deep within, Lord. And Father, as your Spirit would begin to burn deep within, that a love for you and a love for your word, a desire for you, Father, that would just grow so strong. That you'd use him, Father, in the days, weeks, and months that lie ahead, Father, just to testify of you, Father. Father, I thank you again today for the release of your Spirit. I thank you, Father, for the call that you've placed upon him, Lord, and that today you're calling him, Father, to fulfillment of your promise over his life in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
And Father, I just want to thank and praise you that whatever unforgiveness is in his life right now, I just pray, Lord, that as Tyron makes a choice now and he forgives out of the depths of his heart, he forgives all those that he feels that he has something against, and that trauma and that pain and that psychological hurt that is within inside of him. I just pray, Lord, for it to pass now. And I thank you, Lord, that he just releases this now, Father, in Jesus' name. And just put your arms down. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. And the Lord knows your heart, and he knows your trauma, and he knows your pain, and he knows what you've gone through. And he just wants to not only heal you physically today, but he wants to heal you spiritually right now. Okay? Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. God started a work in you that he's going to finish. There's more than just a physical healing. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Amen.
There's just something that I want to share with you. Franco was talking, Ivan was talking about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And I get this picture of a water flow. The water's not gushing, but it's flowing with power. And I feel God wants to fill people here. And very especially, I feel I need that infilling. I feel I'm ready for that infilling of the Holy Spirit. And but there are people out here that God wants to fill as well. I'm not sure who the person is or whether there's many people, but he is ready to fill you. What you need to do is just accept and just be ready for his infilling. Thank you.
I've got the mic again. While my dad was speaking, what came onto my heart is nothing ventured, nothing gained. Think of it like that. If you don't take that step and go out, what are you going to gain? You're going to gain nothing. You're just going to stay in the same place. And it could just be no. But what has it done to you? You've taken that step. Whether you got a no, you try again. And you know what? We are created for God, by God. We are created to fulfill His purpose. His purpose will be fulfilled, whether it's through us or somebody else. So do you want to miss out on that opportunity? So I challenge you all today not to miss out on that opportunity and to take that step. Regardless of what it is, take the step.
Amen. Do you feel that Jesus has spoken to you this morning? Do you believe that he's calling you to fulfill that greater call, to fulfill what he's called you to? If you believe that this morning, I just want to ask you to raise your hands. Are you ready to step out of the boat? Because this is the season, and this is the time to do that. Because his spirit is beginning to move, and the wind of his spirit is blowing in this place and upon our lives this morning. A couple of months ago, we took a step of faith to do something different. It's a family business, to do something different in the business. And it was a really big thing for us. And there were many that said, you guys are crazy, just stupid. There's no way that you need to be doing this in these economic times. But we went ahead. And we've been doing what we felt that the Lord wanted us to do. And it's a big thing. And slowly but surely, this whole thing has all just been coming together. And we've seen the Lord's hand upon it. And our God is starting to bless that. So I really want to encourage you, if you're in business, whatever area you're in, whatever you're doing, take that step of faith. Just don't look at the storm. Don't listen to the negative things. Because you know what? It's going to rob you. It's going to rob you. But know today that Jesus is with you to fulfill what he's asking you to do. The provision and the undertaking is already there. That water supported Peter. And it supported him. It was through the Spirit. The Spirit was there to gird him and to lift him up. And that's what Jesus will do with you. When you take that bold step of faith, when you walk out in courage, and just do it. Just do it. Amen. Be blessed. Be encouraged. Coffee. and step out in faith. And if anybody needs prayer, then you need to come to the front. And as Lenny just reminded me, don't forget the coffee, the cappuccinos, and the toasted sandwiches that are at the... Let's spend time together as a family this morning. Father, we thank you for this morning. We give you all the glory and all the honor. It's not in our own might, it's not in our own strength, but it's in you, Jesus. It's in you, Jesus. So, Father, we thank you that as your children, we step out in faith today, believing, Father, that you've called us to carry out, to do this work in Jesus' name. We love you, Father. We love you, Lord. We give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed.
Your eyes, for the kingdom of God is here.